I'm Marco Werman, and this is The World, a co-production of the BBC World Service, PRI, and WGBH Boston. Political unrest has been sweeping the Arab world since the beginning of the year. Two governments have been overthrown, and others are nervous. Protests in Algeria have not been on the scale of those in neighboring Tunisia and Libya, but they appear to be growing. Today, thousands of students marched in Algiers to demand the resignation of the education minister. Algerian-American professor Karima Benoun teaches international law and human rights at Rutgers University. She attended two protests in Algeria last month. The first was on March 19th.
You mainly had activists from some opposition political parties, some women's rights activists, as well as people who were just sort of generally fed up with their lot. The next day, March 20th, I attended a demonstration by several groups. One was the National Union of the Unemployed. Another group were young contractual teachers seeking better conditions of work. There were also returnees from Libya, that is, Algerians who had been working in Libya and had to flee due to the conflict. So each of these different sectors had different demands. And in fact, one of the young teachers told me that there's no platform for bringing all of these demands together. So that's the quest now in Algeria.
Now, the blog you were writing about your trip suggested that the demonstrations now happen kind of on a regular, almost weekly basis. What is the mood at these demonstrations? Is it one of anger, or are the protesters being carefully watched by government security?
Well, I would say one of the key things to understand is the tremendous commitment to peaceful protest on the part of so many of the demonstrators. And in fact, you sometimes hear them chanting, Masira Silmia, peaceful march, because they're so determined not to use violence. Algerians have a horror of political violence after the civil war of the 1990s that claimed as many as 200,000 lives. So I think that's the first critical thing to understand about the mood at the protests. But you asked about the police response, and the police have been out in force. In fact, yesterday, a number of student activists on the streets of Algiers were beaten as they attempted to approach the seat of the presidency. There were 8 rioters killed in early January, but since that time, there haven't been protesters who've been killed, but many have been sent to the hospital with injuries from beatings in particular. And I think that really shapes the mood. But I would say overall, at the moment, there is a mood of hope that real political change might actually be possible.
Well, tell us about some of the people you met at these protests you were at and some of the things they were telling you. Start with Zohra. That's not her real name. She's out there on a regular basis.
Zohra is someone I have known for a number of years. She's a professional woman, and she really startled me in early February. I met with her in the Hotel Jazeer in the cafe, which is a very fancy hotel in Algiers, and she leaned over and said to me very quietly, I would do anything, whatever the cost to me, to bring down the political system in this country. And she also explained that for her, real political change is also about taking on the social conservatism, which, for example, means that she had to hide from her family the fact that she was attending the protests.
So she says she'll do anything. Interestingly, in one of your blog entries, you make the point that in Algeria these days, there's a pervasive feeling that making sacrifices will not change anything. Where does that feeling come from?
I think that comes from successive struggles since independence that have not really made the change that people ultimately hoped for. So if you take the example of the riots in October of 1988, in a single week, the Algerian army killed about 500 protesters, wounded many others. People were protesting against the single-party state, and many were arrested and tortured. And following those events, there was a real sort of outcry in Algeria and a moment of tremendous opening and democratization. And there was a kind of Algerian spring. It was a beautiful moment in late 88 and 89. Mm. Unfortunately, as the world knows, that didn't turn out so well. And of course, ultimately, we know about the aborted electoral process, which then led to a civil war. So people have made great sacrifices or seen sacrifices made in the past that have given some benefit but have not sort of led to the political promised land. And so there is, I think, a need to really convince people that political sacrifices can lead to change for the better.
The determination of this woman, Zohra, to bring about change makes me wonder how open the environment is in Algeria for women to play a role in the political scene there. Is it more open than, say, other countries in North Africa?
There is a very active women's movement in Algeria, and that women's movement has been very much involved with the National Coordination for Change and Democracy, the CNCD. There's a new coalition of women's groups called the National Observatory on Violence Against Women. But it is very difficult to do the work that they do, and I saw them being particularly targeted by counter-protesters at the marches in February, some attempts even to sexually assault one of the important women protesters, Sharifa Kadar. That was carried out by some of the counter-protesters. She was then subjected to arrest and police violence as well, sexual threats sometimes thrown at the women by the counter-protesters, women being told by police, you belong in the home. So sometimes it's very difficult, and there are a lot of risks associated, but the women's movement seems to me to be very committed.
Then there was a 90-year-old lawyer who hobbled through one of the protests you attended, Maître Ali Yahia Abdennour. Why did he, at his age, join the protesters?
He is a longtime human rights activist in Algeria. He's the sort of ceremonial head, as it were, of one of the Algerian leagues for human rights, very willing to go out on the streets with young protesters. And I saw this sort of wonderful intergenerational coalition, the young protesters welcoming him, protecting him. He faced off police violence, was not afraid of that, and to the extent that he was physically able, continued to be out there on the streets, I think very determined to see in his lifetime some real political change for the younger generations in Algeria.
What is it like for you as an Algerian American going back there and seeing these demonstrations, being in the middle of them?
It's very inspiring, I have to say, to be in the middle of the demonstration, to hear people chanting the slogans, Jezayir Hura Demokratia, for a free and democratic Algeria, singing in multiple languages, not giving up in the face of the police. And something else that really touched me was the extent to which people protected me around the protests. Mm. So at one point I was on a bench that got toppled by counter-protesters, and you know, some of the protesters around me were sort of shielding me with their bodies to keep me from falling on the cement. And that sort of generosity was very touching. At one point, even a counter-protester actually bought me lunch because I was in his neighborhood, and I ended up sort of interviewing him while eating the lunch that he had bought me. And I think this generosity is one of Algeria's great untapped natural resources and bodes very well for what the future in Algeria could be, a future of much greater social equality.
Is Algeria likely to join the wave of protests that have swept across the Mideast, do you think?
Certainly, the transnational dynamic plays a role here. However, a number of people said to me that they do not think that a sort of revolution in the style of Tunisia or Egypt is necessarily what's going to happen in Algeria. And I think that's particularly because of the history of violence in the 90s. But there is a sense that across the region, perhaps it's a bad analogy to use, but the genie is out of the bottle now. Mm. And it's going to be very hard to really stifle legitimate demands for political change.
Karima Benoun, professor of international law and human rights at Rutgers University, and recently back from Algeria. Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you.